What do you think it was like on Palm Sunday when all those crowds, 2 million Jews gathered in Jerusalem, according to Josephus, for Passover? 2 million from all over the world. And Jesus Christ is making his way, some of you have been in Israel, from the top of the Mount of Olives down to what we call the Garden of Gethsemane, up through the Eastern Gate. And they just got caught up in the crowd, and they were waving palm branches to say, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Do you think they really knew what they were doing? Do you think they really were worshiping God? Or they just got caught up in the moment? Were they like kids blowing kazoos and that's all they can imagine? We wonder what it was like. I suspect some of them were very serious, knew exactly what was going on. But some of them were just caught up in the moment and throwing down palm branches and having a great, great time. And what happened a week later at Calvary may tell us something as well. And what kept those who were shouting Hosanna and waving palm branches, what kept them from benefiting from this great King, the Lord Jesus Christ? What was it? I want you to put that in the back of your minds and watch all the kids walking out, just kind of oblivious to reality, not really worshiping God, just blowing their kazoos. And what kept them, what kept the people on Palm Sunday from really accepting Christ and benefiting from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? With that in your mind, we're going to go to something else, and then we're going to come back to it. I'd like you to turn your Bibles, if you would, today to Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, which is not the Palm Sunday account, we are in that passage that's all talking about judgment. And we understand that it's all about specks and logs and pigs and dogs. And hopefully we were here last week and we looked at the concept of specks in my eye and logs in my eye and specks in yours, and the whole concept of a restriction against wrong judgment. Not saying judgment is always wrong, but there is a wrong way to judge people, and there is a wrong judgment that can be practiced by us as people. And we studied that last week. But today we'd like to go to the second part of that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Specks and logs helps me understand through an image what wrong judgment is all about. Really helps me understand it. But today we're going to talk about pigs and dogs. And it goes something like this. Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, or cast your pearls before the hogs, lest they trample them under feet, turn and tear you to pieces. Rather ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it'll be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Specks and logs, wrong judgment. Pigs and dogs, right judgment. Let's pray. Father, help us to accept our responsibility to know a hog or a dog when we see it, and not indiscriminately cast holy and precious things before them. I pray, Father, that we would learn the rule for all judgment is to just treat each other the way we want to be treated. And help us today, Father, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, everybody here know everything there is to know about hogs? Probably you don't. But if you had in your mind something about hogs, you would understand that in your mind they're, porky or hammy, right? And we enjoy the bacon and all that kind of stuff. What I'd like you to think about today is this. You're at the pen with a bunch of hogs out there. Get an image and take your Bible and just toss it in. Could you do that? Anybody here think I could do that? I suspect you can't even get that concept in your mind. Like, toss my Bible into a pig pen? Do you know what the pigs will do? They'll trample it. If you got that image in your mind, you're getting something of what Jesus Christ is trying to teach us about the rule for right judgment, or the responsibility for right judgment. Think of a pig. Think of your Bible. I'm just going to throw it in. Now I want you to do something else. I want you to think about your dog. All right? Your cuddly wuddly, sits on your lap, best friend dog. Let's imagine today you're going to get married tomorrow. And you got the diamond ring, and you got, I can't lose it. Who am I going to give it to make sure that tomorrow at the wedding it'll be there and it won't be lost? I got a great idea. I will carefully take my wife's future wedding ring and I'll give it to my dog. I will entrust it to him and say, make sure tomorrow it's at the wedding. How many would have ever done that? I know some people like dogs a lot. Maybe you would, but I don't think we would. Why would you never throw your Bible into a pig pen? And why would you never entrust a wedding ring to your dog? Because if you did, you'd be a fool, and you know it. If you can get that image in your mind, you understand exactly what Jesus Christ is trying to say here in Matthew chapter 7. And we understand that he's doing this thing about specks and logs, pigs and hogs. It's all about judgment and how to have wrong judgment. Get rid of that in your life. There is good judgment. There's bad judgment. Get rid of the wrong. And now we have a responsibility, a tremendous responsibility for right judgment. If you're in your bulletin, you understand there is something that is there about the restriction, just to review in your minds. We understand there is a restriction on wrong judgment found in chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. The way we judge others is the way we will be judged. You want to raise a high standard on others? A high standard's going on you. So he says, if I were you, I'd just be really careful when I judge other people. Judge not in order that you be not judged. But now he's going to move on to pigs and dogs. And the image in your mind here is in verse 6, and we could easily understand it, but there are four elements in the illustration that you have to get in your mind. Notice exactly what it says in verse 6. Do not give. And then later on it will say in verse 6, nor cast. So he uses two different words. To give means I carefully hand it over. I carefully entrust something to you. I give you my car keys. I give you my car. I entrust it to you. Do not carefully entrust. To cast means I just throw it. And if I had my wife's diamond ring, would I just cast it out there and hope one of you picked it up and found it and brought it back to me? So one is to carefully entrust. One is to just carelessly toss. Do not carefully entrust nor carelessly toss. So you got to get that in your mind. Got it? Notice the next item you have to get this illustration. Do not give what is holy, nor cast your pearls. We all know what's holy. Do you know anything that's holy? What is the list of things that you know that are holy? Those things that have been set apart by God, special to God, holy to God, reverenced by God. We might say, my Bible. We often on the Bible say, Holy Bible, right? It's set apart by God. We would understand God is holy. We would understand Jesus Christ is holy. We would understand a lot of things, and maybe you could make a list of what is holy. So have in your mind this thing, something that's very special, set apart by God. Don't carefully entrust that which is holy. Don't cast your pearls. What are pearls? Well, that's a little different than that which is holy, right? Your pearls are like my wife's diamond ring. It's something that's very valuable, very special. You understand, in the culture of that day, pearls were even more valuable to the people there than they are to us today. Most of us probably could go out and buy a pearl if we wanted to today. They wouldn't be that expensive. Maybe the diamonds over our top, but not the pearls. But in that day, they had to come all the way from Persia. In fact, you understand, in Matthew, they tell the story about the man who sold all that he had to get a pearl. So when he uses the phrase pearl, he's talking about something extremely valuable, like a hunk of gold or diamond in our minds. In fact, Cleopatra is noted, when the guests came to her, she wanted to show off how rich she was. And so she would take a pearl while they were sitting there at her table and she was just kind of showing off. She would take a pearl and drop it into her wine and it would dissolve. And they would, oh, wow. So don't carefully entrust something that God considers to be very holy, and don't carelessly cast or toss around something that's extremely valuable. You could perhaps make a list of things that are valuable. Is God's word valuable to you? Are your kids valuable to you? Is whatever. Make a list of things that are valuable. Got that in your mind? Don't cast. Don't give. That which is holy, that which is valuable. Now let's do the next one. You got to get this one in your mind. Do not cast what is holy to the dogs. Now, to us, a dog is, that man's best friend. We all like dogs, right? They step on your lap, and you run around, and you pet them, and whatever. That is not the image that's found in Scripture at all. Read all the passages in Scripture about a dog, and you understand what's true in their culture. Goliath would say, am I a dog that you'd send this little runt kid named David to me? Hazael would say to Elisha, your servant came to me. You sent your servant to me. You think I'm a dog? We would find in the Psalms that the psalmist would often say, dogs have surrounded me, and they growl and they snarl, and I'm afraid of them. You would find again and again in the Scriptures that dog is used as a despised animal. You hold contempt for them. If you read my blog, you understand Lynette and I lived in Africa for a year. And if you go out from our little mud hut into the bush, the Ngunda as they called it, we didn't ever do that. I didn't do that. None of us went out there. It wasn't because of lions or elephants or tigers or anything like that. It was because of dogs. They were snarling, vicious, attacking. If they packed up on you, they took you down. And we didn't go out there. And our kids did not go out there. So you got to get in your mind, not dogs like Cuddly Wuddly who sits on my lap. A despised, despicable creature held in contempt. Am I a dog? Now you have to get the other one in there, and that's hogs or pigs. Now you all understand what that would mean, especially to a Jew. They are defiled, whereas dogs are despicable, contemptible. Am I a dog? A hog is defiled. And so when you thought to a Jew, you'd say, come on over to my house, I'll have ham for you. They would walk right out. That was a defiled piece of meat that was not honored by God. You stay away from hogs and anything to do with hogs. And you understand, if you really wanted to offend a Jew, if you really wanted to make them feel bad, you would serve ham. Or do you remember when Antiochus Epiphanes really, really wanted to hurt the Jewish people? He sacrificed in the temple, what? A hog. So don't carefully entrust that which God considers holy to some creature that is despicable and contemptible. And don't carelessly toss something that's really, really valuable to one who is defiled in the presence of God and in the presence of God's people. So you got the third thing you got in mind. Now, there's one last thing. You got the what, and maybe we could say it this, do not trust or carelessly fling what is pure and precious to those who are despicable or defiled before God. And here's the reason why. Notice what it says in verse 6. Lest they trample them under their feet and tear you in pieces. So you got to get that. Trample and tear. Here's why you don't do that. None of us would take our Bible and throw it in a pig pen. None of us would take our wife's diamond and entrust it to a dog. We understand why. They don't even know what it is. They have no clue about its value. You throw something in a pig pen, guess what they do? They walk all over it. They just trample it. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't see the value of it. And you would say, they're not to blame. And in one sense, they're not. They don't get it. They don't understand it. You'd be a fool to throw your Bible in a pig pen. And on the other hand, you understand dogs, they will attack you. They're going to turn around and tear you to shreds. So on one side, you don't do it because they're going to trample the gift or the message. On the other side, they're going to tear to pieces or attack the messenger, the giver. And so you never went up to a snarling dog and said, here, I'm going to entrust this to you because he'd bite your hand. And when you get that all together, you got the image that he's trying to get, the image that we have to get. It is something like this. You and I have a responsibility for right judgment. And we do not carefully entrust that which is totally holy to God to some despicable creature who's only going to snarl, turn, and attack you for it. Nor do you carelessly toss something that is extremely valuable, especially to God, to a creature that's totally defiled and not a part of God's program, because they'll just trample it down and it will go to waste. We all got the picture. It all makes sense. Every one of us understands that one. Of course. If I told you I threw my Bible in a pig pen, you would call me a fool. You'd probably call me a lot of other things. If I ever took my wife's ring and gave it to a snarling dog and said, just bring it back tomorrow at my wedding, you'd say, what an idiot. You got it? So why did he say that to us? I got the image. I got the picture. I got the idea. How many of you have ever used this verse to help you to guide your life? Say, I can't do that. I'd be a fool to do that. I'd be like casting my pearls before the swine. I'd be like carefully entrusting what God considers holy to somebody who's despicable to all of us. Have you ever used it? I suspect many of us haven't thought about it, but maybe we should. Because when you read this passage, you understand that he's trying to get across something like this. We have a responsibility for right judgment. If you know anything that's holy and precious, just don't carelessly toss it, nor carefully entrust to the wrong people or to the wrong creatures. When you think about how this was intended to be used, you realize he doesn't delineate that for you and me. Just get it in your head and use it. And that's the way Christ often did things. And I say, well, tell me what that really means in my real life on Tuesday morning. What do I do, you know? And he doesn't, because he hopes you're smart enough to use it. In the early church, you understand it was used by the early writings of the apostles in this way. When we have communion, something that is holy and valuable and precious, or at least it points to something that is holy and precious and valuable, we just don't like, come on in. Let's all do it. Let's have fun. We don't just carelessly toss it to anybody, and we don't just carefully even entrust it to people if they're dogs or hogs and they're going to only trample it and tear you to shred for doing it. So it was often used in the early church, like communion, representing something that's holy and precious, is only for those who are not dogs and hogs, those who understand it, those who benefit from it, those who love it. I suspect most of you have studied this passage, says it has something to do with evangelism. And you understand from both the Old Testament and New Testament, there's a point when the disciples or the Old Testament saints, or even in the book of Acts, the apostles, they would bring the gospel to people. They'd be resisted by people. They'd be mocked by people. They'd be trampled and tore or attacked by people. And at some villages, they would just shake the dust off their feet and walk away. It's like, okay, you're dogs and hogs. I understand the gospel is holy and it's precious. I'm not just going to keep throwing it at you nor carefully entrusting it to you because you don't get it anyway. And some people have used it that way. We understand sometimes we use it in just in regards to truth, God's truth. How many would think it'd be wise for us to entrust God's word to somebody who is despicable and as a creature and say, come on up here and you preach. Go to our Sunday school class and you teach. We'll just let you take that which is holy and precious, and we're going to entrust it to you. We're going to let you be the teachers here. In fact, throughout the scripture, in fact, as you go on in Matthew chapter 7, you understand in verse 13 through 20, he delineates who are the hogs and dogs, and it's false teachers and a bunch of other things. And so it might have to do with truth. Do you entrust God's truth to people who are despicable? It might have to do with even greater than that. It might have to do with this. Have you ever had something you had to say to somebody or deal with in their life, and you knew this? They're going to be a scoffer anyway. And the proverb says, be reproved not a scoffer, he'll only hate you. So you don't even, you know, do I do that? Do I confront them? Do I bring that to them? When all they're going to do when I do that for them is take which is holy and precious, and they're going to trample it or tear me to shreds. They're going to just tear me to shreds for it. And I'm not sure where all the things might go, because you could think of a whole lot of things in your life that are holy and maybe even precious. My kids were precious. Do I just carelessly toss them to anybody and say, take care of them, you know? Would I give them to a monster? Would I give them to the wrong people? Would I whatever? And I'm not sure how it all applies, but it does apply this way. We have a responsibility with those things that are holy and precious. And we've come to understand them to be holy and precious. And we don't carefully entrust them to the wrong people and say, go for it, man. It's yours. That'd be like taking a diamond ring and giving it to a dog. Nor do we carelessly toss it out when it's really valuable and just let pigs, defiled creatures, deal with it and use it the way they want, because they'll just trample it under feet. And if you can get that in your mind, you understand we have some kind of responsibility. And you could make a list, and I don't know what your list would include, but all the things that are holy and all the things that are valuable before God. And I have a responsibility not to just misuse them and miss carelessly or entrust them to the wrong people. I have to really be careful about all that. I have a responsibility to evaluate who is dogs and who are hogs, who tramples it under feet, who's going to tear to shreds the giver anyway. And I have to be really careful about that. I wish I had a clear understanding of how that all applies in every aspect of your life, but it doesn't have it in the Bible, and I don't have it any better than what I said it to you. But I think you know the principle. As you look at that, you would understand there's a world of difference, verses 1 through 5, between the way I treat a speck in my brother's eye, judge not, and the way I treat a hog and dog who's going to attack and trample what is holy and precious. There's a world of difference. If you're my brother, you have a speck in your eye, I don't need to judge you. If you're a hog or a dog, and you're going to trample and tear to shreds the message or the messenger, I have a responsibility to be really careful about just giving it over to you. And with all that in mind, you say, but then, how do I do that? On one side, it's the responsibility for right judgment. On the other side, it's the restriction on wrong judgment. I'd like you to go to verse 12. We're going to jump a couple verses there. But as we go to verse 12, he says this, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." You understand that as the golden rule. And you understand that in that golden rule, he makes something very, very simple. If you're like me, you know, how am I supposed to treat different people? When is it wrong judgment? When is it right judgment? When is it this? When is that? How am I supposed to handle all this kind of stuff? And it's like, I'm not supposed to lie. I'm not supposed to, you know, there's a hundred and hundred and hundreds of all these commandments. And sometimes I don't remember them all and I don't get them all. He says, well, let's just summarize it. Let's get the golden rule. Let's get it done. Do unto others what you'd have them to do to you. You got that? Go home. You got it. It's as simple as that. You understand there is a rule for correct judgment. There's a rule that we have to do for all of our judgment. Let's just think about it. I'm going to list some things here. If you don't mind, I'm just going to read it for you. This is not God's plan for redemption. It's not about salvation. This is about God's plan for relationships. Do unto others that you'd have them to do to you. It is not the sum total of the summary of all the Scripture. Rather, it is the governing principle for all of my affections and my actions and my attitudes in relationship to other people. It is not that I says, put yourself in their shoes, walk a mile in their shoes. It doesn't say that. It says, why don't you walk a mile in your own shoes? How would you want somebody to treat you when you were sad? How would you want somebody to treat you when your mother just died? How would you want somebody to treat you when you sinned? How would you want somebody to treat you when you were the first time in this church, you were new to this church? If you were new, why would you want people to treat you? How would you want people to treat you when you wronged them? Would you want them to get even with you? Would you want them to forgive you? What would you want them to do? What would you want others to do to you? And you could just continue to make a list of all the aspects of life and all the things that would happen in your life. How would you want others to treat you when you didn't understand and they did? When you didn't know and they did? When you didn't, but you did? All of those things. It is not a negative commandment. Now, don't do this. It's a positive commandment. But do unto others. You just do to them what you would have them do to you. It is not a promise that if you do that, they will treat you right. It's a commandment that you treat them the way you would want to be treated, whether they treat you right or not. It has nothing to do with, this is a good plan for life. That's the difference between Confucius and Hillel, who are two, one was Jewish and one, of course, Chinese, who had a similar statement. Many people say that what God, Christ said here is the same as what Confucius say, and it is not. It is not the same as what Hillel said, who are basically said, if you do this, this is the best course for life, and life will turn out really well for you if you take this course. No, he's not promising anything. He's only commanding you to do to others what you'd have them to do to you. How would you want somebody to treat you if you are facing cancer? How would you want somebody to treat you if you just lost your spouse? How would you want somebody to treat you if you had just tripped up and fallen and sinned in the worst way and everybody knew it? How would you want people to treat you if you had wronged them? In the area of sin, how would you want them to treat you? In the area of suffering, how would you want them to treat you? In the area of sorrow, how would you want them to treat you? My mother died a few months ago. I know how I wanted people to treat me. I wanted people to say, we're praying for you. I wanted people to say, if we can help you in any way, let me know. It meant so much to me that people said that to me. How would you want people to treat you? And so we have a restriction on wrong judgment. We have a responsibility for right judgment. We have a rule for all judgment. It makes it kind of simple. I just got to do for you. And the reason is this. It is not because then life will turn out well. It is not because then that's the best road you can take. If you do that to them, they'll treat you better. He doesn't promise that at all. They might treat you worse. Here's what he says is the reason, verse 12. This is the law and the prophets. Write down every law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And is exactly what he's saying here. Do you want somebody to murder you? Do you want somebody to steal from you? Do you want somebody to lie to you? Do you want somebody to commit adultery with your wife? Do you want somebody to covet your goods? Do you want somebody to? Absolutely not. When I do what he tells me to do, I'm fulfilling all the law and the prophets. I got it. It's simple. It's the golden rule. You say, but, you know, I don't know. There's a restriction on wrong judgment. There's a responsibility. I got to figure out who are the hogs and dogs and who's going to trample it and tear it to shreds and don't throw it and don't entrust it. It doesn't mean you don't share it. Doesn't mean you don't help them. But I'm not just going to carelessly toss it or carefully entrust it. I get that. I know there's a golden rule for all of these judgments. But you know what? I'm Richmond Hucklem, and you know, that doesn't always work out right. It doesn't always come out the way I'm supposed to do it. I don't always treat people the way I want them to treat me. I don't always fulfill the law and the prophets. I don't always restrict my wrong judgment. I don't always fulfill my responsibility for right judgment. I just don't always do that. How in the world do I do it? And he says, well, and you'll notice in the middle of this are the verses that we often just use as verses related to prayer. But you understand, he says, there are stone sandwiches, snake steaks, right? He gets that illustration of mine. Anybody here, as a father, when his son says, give me to eat, would give him a stone sandwich? Would you do that? By the way, if you looked at National Geographic a couple months ago, they had all the breads of the world on this picture. And I opened the page to it, and I thought it was all the stones of the world. And I had to read the caption. I got the picture in my file in my office. It's just like, I thought they were stones. So what father, when his son says, give me a loaf of bread, he'd give him one of the stones that looks just like it. You say, no father would do that. Snake steaks? I'm really hungry. Would he give him a sandwich with a snake on it? Absolutely not. You know what? There is a resource for all judgments. Why don't you just ask your Heavenly Father, who desperately loves you and would never give you a stone sandwich or a snake steak. He would just never do that, because no earthly father would. Why don't you ask, and it will be given to you? In all of your relationships with people and all the things that are going on, and I have this responsibility for right and the restriction on wrong and all that kind of stuff, and say, God, you're going to have to help me to do it right and also help them. Why don't you just ask? Why don't you seek? You might find. Why don't you just knock and it will be opened unto you? That we have a resource available to us. His name is God. He's my Father. He's your Father. When I ask him for something, I guess he's probably going to give me the right thing, because he's my Father. And I have a resource for all of my relationships with people. When I'm prone to do the wrong judgment, oh God, help me. When I'm missing the right judgment. Oh God, help me. When I forget the rule for all judgment, oh God, help me. And you put that all together, you understand that in our relationships one with another, we are to judge not, in order that we be not judged. But on the other hand, do not hand over what is holy to God to a dog who will tear you to shreds, nor do you just carelessly toss that which is very valuable to God to a bunch of pigs who won't get a sense of what it is and just walk over it and defile it. You don't do that. Rather, you treat everybody the way you'd want them to treat you. So here's the question. As you read that passage, and I know it's hard for me, so I suspect it's hard for you. I go, what does this mean on Tuesday morning? When have I used this passage to guide me in presentation of the gospel or handing over the truth of God's word or relating to people who need to be related to? When has this passage of scripture helped me or guided me and directed me and all that? And I really challenge myself, and I hope that you challenge yourself. Do I recognize when it's just like you're tossing it to a hog, man? You're carefully entrusting your kids to a dog? Really? What a fool you would be. When am I supposed to understand that? But in reality, I want you to ask a different question today. I don't want you to ask, how do I see the dogs and hogs out there? You need to do that. I want you to ask this question. When am I a dog or a hog? When has it been that somebody couldn't bring to me something that is holy and special because I just trampled over it or attacked them? I didn't want to hear it, and I attacked them. And so they just backed off and said, you know what? Not talking to you. Don't need to talk to you. Doesn't benefit me to talk to you. You're just going to trample what I'm saying to you right under my feet, your feet. Or are you going to attack me for bringing the message to you? When am I the dog or the hog? And I'm the despicable creature or the defiled creature that people can't just bring holy and precious things to my life. I suspect when you think about that, you can think about many examples in your life where you, and I can think of some right now. I would love to go to some people and just say, do you know, boom. My motive would be to help them, to really help them to see what they apparently don't see in their life. I would love to help them, but I'm not going to do it. Because they won't get it, and they'll attack me, and it won't do any good. I have to let them wander down their merry way because I've tried it. It doesn't get anywhere. We're just going to let it go. When am I the dog? When am I the hog? Now, what does that have to do with Palm Sunday? Nothing. Except this. 2,000 years ago, there were a group of people who got all caught up in the moment. And someone who is very holy and very precious, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, was going to be entrusted to them and given to them in a free way. His name was Jesus Christ. And one day on Palm Sunday, they were all pumped and threw palm branches and clothes and all that in front of them. But only a few days later, they would say, crucify him and kill him. And you look at that crowd and say, what you missed, what you could have had. The precious and holy Lord Jesus Christ was walking down the road in front of you. He was yours for the taking. But you were dogs and you were hogs and you lost it all. And I want you to think this time of myself and yourself. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person who misses that which is holy and that was extremely precious. Because God said, I can't give it to him anyway. They'll never get it. They're dogs and hogs. Help me to be the one who can benefit from the truth, the valuable, the precious things that God has for us. Let's pray. Father, today, we understand it's not easy to correctly judge. We understand that wrong judgment discourages people, destroys people. We understand that wrong judgment really hurts your testimony and displeases the Holy Spirit of God. We pray that you'd keep us from that. But I pray as well, we don't flippantly take what is holy and precious and just toss it out or carefully entrust. Help us to be really guarding and protecting of that which is holy and that which is precious. And help us to understand how we do that. Help us to live a life that doesn't say, it's just okay, we'll just let anything happen. We're a people that say, this is very special to God, and we better treat it as if it's special to God. I pray, Father, you would implement this in our lives on a daily basis and help us to be the kind of people who know there's a world of difference between the speck in my brother's eye and the error, the viciousness of a wayward sinner. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.